1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. An appeals court has thrown out a plea agreement for the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks. Legal analyst Laurie Levinson says the court ruled in favor of a former defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, who tried to stop the deal.
In a 2-1 decision, the appellate judges said, indeed, the secretary of defense had the power to withdraw from the pretrial agreement.
Military prosecutors had hoped the deal would bring some closure in the case. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and others have been held at Guantanamo for 2 decades. President Trump is in Texas touring the flood devastation as the search continues for 170 people still missing.
I'm hoping they'll find the rest of them and give them peace. We're praying for them, the families and everything.
It is hot in the West.
Sky Harbor Airport set a daily record, hitting 118 degrees, something that's only happened 21 times in the Valley of the Sun.
CBS's Chris Van Cleve. CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Tuition will rise for students in the universities of Wisconsin system. Savannah Tomei Olson has the details.
The system is dealing with cuts from the National Institutes of Health, the biggest public funder of research in the world, plus cuts from the Trump administration and a small increase in the state budget. But as UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin says, the budget also includes hiring limits.
This legislation poses quite significant challenge for us. We would become a potential poaching ground quickly, and we would be unable to recruit in some of the very high needs areas that we all view as a priority.
UW System President Jay Rothman says UW is still the most affordable public university system in the Midwest. Even then, Wisconsin ranks 44th in the nation for state higher education funding.
This was a difficult recommendation for me to make as well, because we're trying to balance understanding that the state supports 1/5 of our budget, about 20%. There was a time that it supported close to 44% of our budget. And as that funding has gone down for reasons that, you know, notwithstanding the increase that we got this time, that's simply the fact. And tuition has become a bigger portion of our revenue.
This is the third year in a row that students within the UW system will see a tuition increase. It'll begin in the fall.
And UW Stevens Point tuition is going to be $9,477, while UW Eau Claire even higher at $10,067. Coming in slightly lower than Stevens Point by nearly $500 is UW Oshkosh, $8,993. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
A buzzer beater for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The NBA Summer League kicked off last night in Las Vegas. Teams getting a look at some of their youngest players. Milwaukee against Denver, down by 2. Andre Jackson Jr. with a pass to the Bucks' Jamari Bouye, who moved to the right behind the three-point line on ESPN.
Jackson to inbound. He finds Bouye. Liddell all over him to step over. He gets it up.
The Bucks over the Nuggets, 90-89. GM John Horst and Doc Rivers to introduce Miles Turner to the media, picked up in free agency from the Pacers. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee, the Brewers against the last place Nationals. The crew now just 2 games behind the Cubs, who beat the Twins yesterday 8-1, avoiding the sweep in Minnesota. Pete Crow Armstrong with 2 home runs, and former Brewer pitcher Colin Ray allowing just 1 run in 7 innings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Showers and some storms this afternoon and throughout this evening. Some could bring some gusty winds and heavy downpours. Around 0.5 inch of rain is likely, but a couple of inches is possible, which could create some flash flooding. Highs will be in the low 80s today and tomorrow, and the mid 80s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 76.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese with the Canine Convoy based in Oconto. We're talking Dog Bus. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
On location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. Here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Yeah, freedom.
And your feet start kicking. Then you know.
Civic Media Radio Network. It's the Todd Albaugh Show.
We lost control 30 seconds in.
We are live here at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, the 11th of July, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here live in Chippewa Falls. Aaron Zommer is a producer engineer back at the old world headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. And joining me once again for the entire show, my friend, my colleague here at Civic Media, and the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow every morning on many of these stations from 6 until 9, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. Are you ready for day two, Pat?
The hump day camel was not available. I was happy to fill in in its stead. You did this.
I did it. We talked to Rusty Volk, the executive director of the State Fair yesterday, and we said, Rusty, I really want to have a live animal on this show. Can we bring a live animal into this building?
And folks, he did it. I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken, chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table. The most gentle. I don't. What do you have that chicken narked up on? But it is just so still and.
I know it's a very docile chicken, yes. A docile bird.
We should get introduce our guest.
We'll in just a second. Big show today coming up in just a few minutes in the first hour here. The Washington County Executive and a Republican candidate for governor, Josh Shulman, is going to be here on the program, stopping by to say hello. And then at 2:30, B.J. Hollers and Steve Dayton of Fireside Productions talking about their new documentary on Coob. Of course, the national championships taking place this weekend in Eau Claire. Hour number two, then at 3 o'clock hour, a what's worse, sunburn or frostbite. And then at 3:20, our friend and colleague Mike McKay from WCFW 105.7 FM will be here to discuss what's going on the music side of the Chippewa Valley. And at 3:35, Ken Szymanski, teacher and author of his new book featuring the Wisconsin Northern Wisconsin State Fair, will be here. So a huge show.
And your mom.
Oh, yeah,
she's
mom is here.
Literally right there.
Yes, mom, Miss Linda, is here once again. Okay. Our Anthony Anderson version of mom.
She's taking care of my bucket of cookies that I brought in for y'all.
Yes, we're going to talk fair food in hour two. Look, Pat brought in these beautiful fair chocolate chip cookies. We're going to talk about food, fair food as well. But first, let's start off right away with one of our exhibitors here and a wonderful person. She was so kind to come on very short notice. My sister Heather and I were walking through the small animal barn, and we saw these great chickens.
Trolling.
And yes, and here we have Kaylee High, a recent graduate of Stanley Boyd High School here in the area. Kaylee, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
It's really, really cool. So introduce your bird here. What is her name, and what is her
What is this?
No, I mean, I know it's a hen, but I mean, what's the line of bird? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So this
breed,
is Sue. Yeah. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
6 years. A Dominique, did you call them hens or chickens?
Hens. It's, yeah, it's both.
Dominique hen, and her name is Sue. Mm-hmm. Pat would say it's a very docile bird.
Yeah, she's kind of been everywhere with me. She was one of my very first chickens I got. And so, really? Yep, aww. 6 years strong. She's still going.
So does your family farm in the area?
Yeah, we have a farm over in Stanley, Wisconsin.
Okay. What, dairy or cattle? Or?
We kind of have a little bit of everything. It used to be a dairy farm. And then about 4 years ago, we switched over to beef. So now my brother shows steers.
Oh, wow, that's super cool. Yeah. Would have been a little messy to have a steer come across. So we decided on that.
We take care of the bull ourselves over here.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. We are just fine. This is the first chicken I've ever... This could be an emotional support animal coming on a plane.
Right. Yeah.
An emotional support chicken. You were so gentle.
Yeah.
Always?
Yeah. This is her all the time.
Wow.
How old were you when you first... Did you do this through 4-H when you first started showing?
Yeah. So I started in 4-H, and then I showed all 6 years throughout 4-H, and then I joined FFA and started my own poultry team. But I started in fifth grade and then got my first chickens in sixth grade. So...
That's well, we were telling the story off the air. My sister and I had a terrible experience. We tried to sneak a little chick into my mom's basement, and it did not turn out well. You need to have proper training. Did your parents kind of show you about small animals growing up, or did you learn that through FFA or 4-H?
It was kind of just a learn-as-you-go type thing. Yeah, no, we had never had chickens. My grandma had chickens, so she kind of gave us, like, the starting stuff, and then from there on, it was just me trying to figure out what I was doing.
But you would so. You would agree with... Todd's mom not trying to raise
do
a
not,
chicken
yeah, no,
in the basement.
Do not raise
in a cardboard out your mom no. Okay. And when you show chickens at a fair, what are the judges looking for?
Yeah, so they're looking for if they have all their feathers, the brightness of their skin, the younger they are and the better layers they are, the brighter their skin's going to be. They check like the length of like their pelvis and their sternum and all those kind of things. So
our measurements involved. They have to go through that.
They have to measure them with your fingers and know it from there. Yeah, pretty much.
I had no idea, Pat. There was, and I grew up in a rural community in Southwest Wisconsin with county fairs. I did not know there was this much detail to judging chickens.
I have to tell you an honest to God story. My first time coming to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair 30 years ago, mm-hmm. and we're going through the barns, and they were judging rabbits at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if have you had any in your family on the farm?
Yeah.
There? Okay. The judge is talking to the whole crowd about the rabbits and saying all the things about what they're judging on, and the judge honestly says, "Now, if it were up to me." These rabbits would already be like field dressed and prepared.
Oh my gosh.
So you could see the muscular structure and blah blah blah. And Sherry and I are just horrified. Like, this is how they judge animals? Is the judge's name Ed Gein?
Yeah, I mean, what is this? Terrible.
Now, I've never heard that since, but it was a terrible introduction to animal judging at the fair. I mean, I get that with the cattle, you know, when they're auctioned, they're mm-hmm. you know, they're gonna be turned into
burger
yeah. or whatever. And I do have to admit that today is National Kebab Day, and my initial thing to bring into you, but I ate it first.
I'm glad you did it. It could have devastated poor Sue.
It was a chicken kebab.
It could have devastated poor Sue.
It was, yes.
We're talking with Kaylee High here from Stanley Boyd High School. She is in the small animal division and showing her hen, Sue, here. Pick up on that. So my sister, Heather, and Pat and his wife went to dinner. We went to dinner last night, and our server was talking about, was it her brother? Or somebody in your family was showing a steer,
yes.
and it did better than they thought, and it was like he had raised this animal for a long time, and now...
They were bringing in two, and the one that they thought for sure was going to be the champion, like, had a bad experience, they walked funny or whatever that one time, and then the other one turned out to be a reserve champion. So, I mean, you don't know until yeah. you're in the moment being judged.
You can take your best guess, but, yeah, that's about it. You just have to go for it. So,
but talk to us a little bit about this... Yes, you're raising them, and if they do well, then obviously they're not going to be around any longer. But you become attached to these animals, right?
Yeah, I know. Last year, my brother was glad to see his go. His was very naughty last year. But this year, yeah, he was a little upset about it because he had a very sweet one this year.
And this isn't like Miss America. They don't move up. There's not a competition in West Allis and then beyond.
Right.
Anything
it's
like that.
It's a culmination?
I don't know much about it, but I do know that, like, it's almost a requirement for them to go to auction unless they don't make weight or if they are sick, then you kind of have to take them home and try to sell them there. You want them to go to auction most of the time because you spend a lot of money trying to get them in a feed and you want to be able to pay it off. So.
Well, Sue, it's been fun. I mean,
Well, Sue's been here 6 years.
Yep, so chickens and rabbits don't go. Okay. It's just hoof stock. So.
You hear that, Rabbit Judge?
Right?
You cool.
And you were talking a little bit before we went on the air. My mom, actually, Miss Linda over there, asked a good question about, because there's all sorts of different naturally colored eggs. How does that happen? Is it certain breeds of hens?
Yeah, so it's actually, you can buy the breed specifically made for the color egg you want. So if you want an olive egger, you're going to get some green eggs. And if you want an Easter egger, you'll get anywhere from pink to blue eggs. So
an
it's
Easter
cool.
egger, that's what we need.
Easter egger, yes. How often is it that people start their chicks by getting them from like a neighbor or somebody else in the community? Because one of the things we heard about when they were talking about postal service cutbacks and things is that there's also the mailing of like live chicks and things like that.
Yeah, no. I've always gotten mine from the mail.
You got your chicks from the mail.
Yep, you go pick them up from the post office once they get here, and you just kind of hope that the post office doesn't lose them. I can't say much. My mom works for the post office, so she'll be very mad at me.
Good for her. We love our postal workers.
Yes. But yeah, it's pretty often, and then there is groups kind of everywhere that you can buy chickens from then too.
So. Wow. A couple more minutes left. Talk to us a little bit about, and I know it's fun, it's coming to the fair, that sort of thing. I've known a lot of people in 4-H over the years. Talk to us a little bit about what you've learned in raising hens in terms of just responsibility, and how has it prepared you? I know you said you're going to college next year in Iowa. Mm-hmm. How has it prepared you in how you live your life and how you carry yourself?
Yeah, so especially raising chickens, it takes a lot of remembering last time you collected eggs, remembering when you went and fed them, what did you feed them, are you making sure they get the right nutrients, are you getting close to fair, do you need to start feeding them some extra stuff? And so it's kind of just making sure you actually check on your birds, and they are one of the easier animals to show, so I'm a little lucky there. But also kind of going forward, I know like compassion, like every animal has a different type of personality, especially chickens. They're all different, so you kind of have to figure out how to deal with all that.
I'm sorry, did you say what you were going to be studying?
Yeah, I'm going for Spanish. I want to be a medical interpreter. So.
How okay. cool is that?
Yeah.
Right? children in Mexico then say what a chicken says what?
Oh, it's P-O-P-O.
P-O-P-O.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
The chickens learn a whole different language down there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know my friends in El Salvador, when they say, what does a chicken say? It's kikadikadi.
Yep.
Not cockadoodle-doo.
Yep, I've heard that as well.
Kikadikadi. Not cockadoodle-doo.
Okay.
So it's a Spanish chicken, Pat.
Wow. Okay. Is this something you do in the future? I mean, would you want to live in a rural setting, maybe on your own little hobby farm versus a city?
Yeah, I want to have chickens for the rest of my life.
You
I can't
do.
Imagine not having chickens. Oh, so
that's super cool.
Yeah.
It is.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Well, I just appreciate you coming on so much. I think that too often, you know, Pat and I talk about that young people spend too much time on screens and things like older people spend too much time on screens too. But I'm just always uplifted by young people in 4-H and FFA who are getting out there. And I know, as your generation says, touch grass, literally and figuratively. I just think it's great.
Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome. I've met some very cool people through 4-H and FFA, and I'm very honored to be part of it.
But I have to ask, with Minecraft and the movie, and a lot of kids like to play Minecraft. I've got both my two oldest grandsons go crazy for Minecraft, and then we saw the movie. How often has Sue had to hear the Lava Chicken song? From
too
the
much,
Minecraft?
Yeah.
See.
Pat's in the know.
Yes,
yeah. Really.
Steve's Lava
Way
Chicken.
Too much.
Yeah.
A lot of chicken jockey. I went and brought her to a fourth grade thing for like FFA. It was they got to meet all sorts of animals, and I heard it too much, and she
they
heard
throw
it too
popcorn
much,
at any point.
Yeah, no, it wasn't great.
Well, you said we saw one of the other ones, a hen or a rooster. I said, how about that? And you're like, no, I'm not bringing him over. No, he's too mean.
She's very food motivated, so she thinks all you have is food, and she will peck at you. So I was like, she's not coming with.
Oh,
there are different personalities, Pat.
Yes. Oh, yes, there are. I mean, I had to be careful bringing in the big bucket of cookies. Otherwise, he was just going to be pecking away until we fed this guy after the show.
Here's a ridiculous question. But Sue here, does she laying eggs?
Yeah, so she's not laying anymore, but she did used to. She's too old. She's just kind of, she might lay like one a year, but that's about it.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
This is a post-menopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The arm pump over there is a little too enthusiastic, but we understand.
I didn't know that. That's great. Well, it's just been a pleasure. Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School, thank you for spending
this time with us.
And congrats on graduation, and best of luck. What university in Iowa?
University of Northern Iowa, down in Cedar Falls.
It's a great university.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck and everything.
Thank you.
A pleasure. We'll come back and talk with Josh Shulman on the other side. Pat Kreitlow and Todd with, a live animal.
In a live
from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, live on location.
Never doubt you again.
Come on back after this.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes
right.
in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at beautiful Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, along with Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow every morning across the network on 6 until 9. Glad to have you along. Pat, you never know who you're going to run into at the fair. While Heather and I were out trying to find a live animal, Sue the chicken.
Look who you found.
We ran into a candidate for governor. That's the great thing about coming to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. You can have good food, you can have family fun, and you can meet people that you want to just strike up a conversation with as well.
And that's what running for governor or anything, legislature, is all about. So Josh Shulman is here, the Washington County Executive, and first Republican announced candidate for governor for 2026.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to be up here.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Why don't we just start off with, for those that might not know you, from Southeast Wisconsin, but tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, what you did, and why you're running for governor.
Yeah, so I'm the Washington County Executive. I was born in Hartford, so Washington County originally. I'm the son of a Lutheran minister and a registered nurse. And my folks moved around a lot when I was a youngster. And mostly the eastern part of the state. Middle school and high school years in Kewaunee, so I'm a graduate of Manitowoc Lutheran High School. And my wife and I have been married 24 years this year.
Congrats.
And thank you very much. I'm a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I was with the Madison Unit, the 147th Black Hawk Unit in Iraq in 2003. And when I came back, I dedicated the rest of my life to the service and sacrifice of the guys and gals who didn't make it back, either in whole or in part, and reflecting the love of my Lord Jesus, by loving my neighbor. So that's what put me into public service, and I've been in municipal administration for 15, almost 20 years, and county executive for the last six in Washington County.
So when you're looking at the Republican primary right now, and first of all, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I had the opportunity to work for former Congressman Scott Klug and handle military affairs. I never served, but I have a great appreciation for our veterans, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
But when you look at this Republican primary, there's another person who announced a couple days ago here. I think one of the big things that people are looking at is in this environment, I mean, I'm a former Republican was for 30 years. As you look at the current iteration, it seems like a lot of people are saying, well, you are going to, or someone, whoever wins this Republican primary is going to have President Trump's endorsement. Do you feel that? Do you need President Trump's endorsement to win this race?
President Trump's certainly important. It is his party. I mean, he's been around for a decade now and changed everything in dynamics and in politics in all of America. But I think this primary in particular is going to come down to one thing and one thing only. In my lifetime, Republicans have only ever elected two governors. Tommy Thompson and Scott Walker. Both were young, energetic guys in under 45. One was a county executive, son of a minister. And so we've got a template that we know works on our side. And that's what I expect to work this time. But at the bottom line is we haven't had a candidate in a long time on our side that really burns a shoe leather, runs into media at county fairs, state fairs. And I think that's what we need. You know, meet people where they're at. Have conversations with one another again. Stop talking past each other. There's been way too much of that. And so that's what I like to see change in this campaign.
Whatever Governor Tony Evers decides, whether to run for a third term or whether to step back, then there will be a very crowded Democratic primary. That's plain to see.
Sure.
You will have things to say about the Evers administration and or the Democratic field as it comes up. But since we only have limited time here, I want to do, and I heard this a lot running all the time as well. They're like, well, just tell us what you're going to do for me. So I want to give you that opportunity. If you are elected, what is it that you want to do?
Yeah, the big thing that I'm focused on is making Wisconsin a place that people are proud to be, not just be from. And what I mean by that is we've talked about brain drain in the state for, it feels like a quarter century, most of my life. Young people leaving the state for other opportunities, never coming back. And now you're starting to see retirees leaving. My mom and dad are residents of Wisconsin, but they have a place down in the Fort Myers area. And I went down and visited this spring. And like always, all the people from Wisconsin gather and they have the brat fry and the whole nine yards. And they're all residents of Florida for 6 months and one day or more. They love the sunshine and the zero income tax. And I think both of those things we have to work change. We, you know, if you look at the demography of the state in the next 25 years, it's kind of scary. So we've got to retain. And I think that's going to be my number one
focus.
Can
I go to the other end of the age spectrum, though, retaining our best and brightest, our young people, so that they don't leave?
That's right.
Can you tell them?
So my big thing with that is I think the big hurdle for them coming back is where are they going to live? Right, housing in Washington County, the average price of a home is about $400,000. It's demonstrably worse in Dane County, for example. But that is a similar average across the state. I don't know how young people even can think about affording a house right now. So I think that's a big issue we've got to tackle. We have a track record in Washington County, and I think we can take it to Madison.
State budget passed last week. Governor Evers signed it into law. There are people on the right who are saying that Tony Evers whipped the Republicans. There are people on the left saying they got a raw deal out of it. Where do you stand? Was this a good budget? Is it something you could support, or do you think it should have been better?
Yeah, it's not a good budget. I don't think anybody's happy. You know, I heard Greta Neubauer criticizing it, saying she didn't even have a seat at the table. I think that's wildly inappropriate. The fact that legislative leadership and the governor weren't even talking to each other until, what was it, 3-4 weeks before the budget needed to be adopted with essentially a fiscal gun to your head with the federal money going away. So, you know, that's something when I'm governor, you know, I wanted to reach out to Greta and say, listen, we might not agree on much, but you're going to have a seat at the table. Like, we have to be talking to each other. I think it's one of the big things that's wrong in America is we just talk past one another. We don't even have conversations anymore. So it's good to have conversations, and I think that's something that's got to change. We need leadership.
Anything, we have about a minute left or so.
Sure.
Anything we haven't asked you, and I'd love to have you come back on. Thanks for doing this. What
yeah,
have we
course.
Not asked you that you think people of the state need to hear of why you want to be governor?
I think the big thing that people I've been hearing is the education governor, Governor Evers, prides himself on being an education governor, and they are very concerned about education long term. I mean, the declining enrollments really statewide on average, that's a problem. The way that the funding formula works and has not worked for over 30 years is a problem. And we just keep throwing money. We're not looking at outcomes. We're not looking at what's best for kids. We're just looking at how do we fund? How do we fund? How do we fund? I think we round a table, even if we disagree, and work together to solve. That's what I'm going to do when I'm governor. It's what I've done as county executive in Washington County.
Washington County Executive now Republican gubernatorial candidate Josh Shulman, thank you so much for taking the time to stop by. Look forward to future conversations with Pat and I moving forward.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Visit joshshulman.com. More information.
Nice to have you up here in Chippewa.
Thank you.
Come on back. We're going to talk a little B.J. Hollers and filmmaking and Coob after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show with Pat Kreitlow, live on location from Chippewa Falls of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Old Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you know that 85% of rural fire departments in Wisconsin operate entirely with volunteers? That's a problem. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. A problem revealed in a recent statewide survey done by the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. James Small is the Emergency Medical Services Outreach Program Manager that took a look at the numbers. And he said, it's not just the lack of people in rural communities, it's flat out expense.
It used to be you could buy a new fire engine for $400,000 maybe, up to 500, let's say like 10 years ago. That same vehicle today is pushing $1 million or more. And then on top of that, getting the people in place to staff those apparatus is yet another challenge. Because I think what we've seen with our communities is that a lot of people work outside the communities that they live in, where a few decades ago, there was manufacturers and things like that all over the place that were in the communities and allowed people to leave and go to fires and stuff like that. But when that person's working half an hour or an hour outside the community, that's not realistic anymore.
James Small is the EMS Outreach Program Manager with the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. The survey they conducted earlier this year was statewide and got contributions from 418 fire chiefs. That represented about 52% of departments statewide. One issue they noted, over 80% of firefighters receive little or no monetary compensation.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most, your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And since July is National Ice Cream Month, a brand new tool to connect you with ice cream right here in the state, courtesy of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. They've got about 20 unique ice cream experiences that you can follow on the brand new Ice Cream Trail. Find it at GatherWisconsin.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Showers and some storms this afternoon and throughout this evening. Some could bring some gusty winds and heavy downpours. Around a half an inch of rain is likely, but a couple of inches is possible, which could create some flash flooding. Highs will be in the low 80s today and tomorrow and the mid 80s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba. Friday's show is a replay, but I'll be back live Monday with the group On Stage for Cancer performing in studio, and Madison film critic Rob Thomas talks movies. Let's light it up. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Back to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair live in Quaw Falls, Wisconsin. Todd Allball held the Civic Media Radio Network along with my guest co-host for the day for the last 2 days here. So kind, so gracious. He usually gets up, or he always gets up way early.
Better always get up.
He's at 6 until 9 a.m. mornings at Pat Kreitlow. Mr. Kreitlow is here at the table. That song is going to be playing, Pat, at some point during the weekend for the U.S. National Coupe Championship in Eau Claire, just down the road from here. But what a show so far. We started off with a live chicken followed by a politician. What's the rule? You never let it follow kids or animals, and showman God love him, he did it.
But if you're going to, it may as well be, you know, followed up then by champions.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Joining us via StreamYard just down the road, because they are busy indeed. They are from Fireside Productions. BJ Hollers, who has been on the show before, talking about the great documentary When Robert Rubber Hit the Road. Todd could talk there. It was world premiere here at the Pablo Center. We were up here for that. And his production partner at Fireside, Steve Dayton, joined us via StreamYard. BJ and Steve, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
It's really, really great. Number one, again, if people haven't seen When Rubber Hit the Road, it's a great documentary on the closing of the Uniroyal Tire facility here in Eau Claire. Just really quickly, have you guys had more follow-up on that? Is the DVD out still, or what's the status on that great piece?
Yeah, it's all going great. PBS Wisconsin is screening it and streaming it regularly, so you can check it out on PBS Wisconsin any second of your day. It's also on Amazon, and you can pick up the DVD at our website, firesideproductions.com.
Wow, that's great. If people haven't seen it, I would really encourage it. It's just a great film, number one, but what a story. You know, Pat, you and I talked about this before, of just the resilience of this community up here in Chippewa Falls.
Right, and I'm absolutely certain that resilience comes through in this as well. And I noticed that you got a lot of gratitude for putting this together, because it's a part of Eau Claire history that I think people feared was starting to be forgotten. And you know what it's like to have to go back and try to tell a tale when there's nobody left to tell it who actually lived it. And so you've taken advantage of this opportunity, and it's going to be a permanent part of the culture here.
As you guys travel around that, have you heard similar comments? Just, hey, thanks for preserving this history?
Yeah, it was a mixture of both of thanks for preserving this history, and then around the Wisconsin of, you know, maybe I didn't know this story as well, but I also lived this story in some way. So we kind of kept running into those comments.
Well, you're on to new projects as these things go in the art world. Tell us about this latest project, what you guys are doing this weekend and in conjunction with the Coupe Championships.
It's a very exciting time in Eau Claire. Of course, Eau Claire is the North American capital of Coupe. If you're familiar, Coupe is a game born in kind of Sweden and these kind of places, and it's come to America in part thanks to Eric Anderson, an Eau Claire native. And so All this weekend, we will be filming the U.S. National Coupe Championship at the soccer parks here in Eau Claire to try to figure out who will be crowned king. Our documentary will be called Kings of Coupe, and basically we spent the last year following four or so teams and a few other folks along the way to kind of figure out about this culture and the people and also the competitive spirit of it all.
I think this is fantastic. We had Ken on the, Eric on the show yesterday talking about this, and you know, I didn't know anything about it until you guys know my sister and brother-in-law. They got me playing it up here in Eau Claire, and you know, I think it's great. There may be other people that might not be into it as much, but I mean, what makes this a great story?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about Coupe is, you know, we have all played it in the backyard, and then to go to Eau Claire Coupe League and go to the championship and just see how much people are invested in this. It's a lot of their entire lives. This is their friend group. This is their family. This is what they do on weekends. They travel many miles to do this. This is who they are. So it's ingrained into the people that play it.
And it's the people who heard the interview with Eric yesterday when he talked about the king as one of the pieces, mm-hmm. you know, in Coupe.
Yeah.
Where those are the ones going, oh, I see what they did there.
Yeah, see, you get it. You get it.
Yeah, yeah. See, we listen.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Even the shows I'm on, I listen to you.
I have to pay him extra, you know, in beer.
Well, sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on I think, again, for some people that might not be from the Chippewa Valley, they might not know what Coupe is, but I think we've all had those quirky passions, if I could call Coupe a sort of a quirk, whether it's people who are into chess. I mean, these people are obsessed with chess and will travel all over. Or, you know, there might be fishing. People for some people, fishing championships is like, what's that? But is the through line of a filmmaker for you guys, is it just this unique people, where this human instinct, a drive and passion, no matter what the subject is?
For me, it absolutely is. We're trying to kind of be these flies on the wall for this kind of microculture that people may know something about, but even if you don't know what Coupe is, even if you've never thrown a baton at all, you know what it means to be passionate, to be all in, to be a competitor, to want to win, to want to be the best you can be at something. And what's so cool about Coupe, and all these folks who play tell us this, this is their chance to be the best in the country at something. And they can be 50 years old, they can have just started 3 years ago. We say, you know, they don't have to be in the best shape of our lives, but if you can do this one thing, if you can play this sport, and it's not a game, it is a sport, you should ask them, you can be the best in the world, or at least the best in the nation. And it's pretty exciting to watch these folks practice and train all year round for the opportunity to compete this weekend.
Is part of the obscure, or part of the attraction, its obscurity, in that it's a niche sport, not a lot of people play it, and so you almost feel like one of the cool kids who gets to be in this thing that, you know, not everybody knows about.
I mean, I think yes. And what's so cool is this community is very tight-knit, you know. It's weird because last night we went to two Coupe parties and all the competitors there are making pizza, having a great time, kind of throwing batons together. But in 24 hours from now, it's going to be a whole different ballgame, you know. And these folks who are good friends all year round are going to be staunch competitors against one another. They always say there's only one reason we're doing this, and that's to win, you know. And so it's really cool to kind of see the bravado that can come out. It's tricky to be friends but also competitors, and yet, you know, there's no referee. They're kind of like doing this on their own, and so there's a lot of gentleman sports talk about the whole thing, and it's really cool to see kind of passions on display but also the honesty of just doing what's right for the game and for themselves.
We're talking with BJ Hollers and Steve Dayton from Fireside Productions, filmmakers who have done great productions like When Rubber Hit the Road here and other works as well. They're working on their latest documentary on the Coupe Championships taking place in Eau Claire this weekend. Guys, maybe this is a premature question. Maybe you don't know the answer to this yet. I'm going to ask it anyway. So we've been very fortunate at this show to kind of become friends with filmmakers Kelly Call and Sean Hannish, who did the documentary on the Brewers, just a bit outside the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, who have been on this show a number of times. And one of the things that Kelly and Sean have told us is it's not really a film, a documentary about sports. It's really about a love story between a community and a team, a community who was going through a recession at the time in the early 80s, and they needed something to believe in, and this team of kind of misfits needed a city to uplift them. What's the backstory, or if you know it, what's so far, what's this documentary? It's not maybe just about Coupe, but what's the real story here?
I would say that the story is about community. It's about people connecting. It's not the throwing the batons, but waiting to throw and those conversations that you have. Or in Eric Anderson's case, you know, raising two daughters and him being a big part of Coop and them finding love in it too. And those connections there. So it's more about relationships than anything else.
Very much right, human interest. Yeah.
Let's get past the happy stuff here. This is like any sport. There's going to be the heels. There's going to be the who's the New York Yankees. Have we gotten to the point where there is a team that is just almost unbeatable to the point that people almost either dread playing them or they want the challenge to knock them off? And if that's the case, do they get really full of themselves? Are they humble champions? Let's get all the dirt on this right now.
Oh, man.
This is where you get to share it all.
This is where you get us in trouble.
I'm going to get in big trouble. Well, I think most would say the greatest of all time, the GOAT, is a guy who teaches in Chippewa. He's an Eau Claire guy named Greg Jochimson. And this guy has his name on the Stapp Trophy again and again and again. He's won multiple national championships, won world championships as well. I mean, he's incredible, and I think other teams fear him, you know, and I think he likes that. I think he likes the mystique, and so he's been really generous with us and kind of shown us his full self. But when he's on the pitch, I mean, he's there to win, and I think everyone knows it, and he doesn't miss a lot, and it's just when you watch people at that level play this sport, I mean, when we play in the backyard, we hit a couple, we miss a couple. They don't miss. It is incredible the level they are thinking about everything they do. They call the game Viking chess, and it's because it's strategic in so many ways, you know. So watching him play and his whole team, Wrecking Crew, they have one of their team members coming from Belgium. They're quite the team and one to be feared this weekend.
Oh, that's called
the Wrecking Crew?
Yeah.
See, that's great. Perfect. That's appropriate.
There it is.
Is it still what you'd call, you know, a street clothes type event, or are some people starting to, you know?
That's good, yeah.
Yeah,
uniforms.
Jazz it up, uniforms. Yeah. Is there any bling involved in this?
Oh. Pat wants the bling. He wants the merch.
Yeah. You are going to get
cape.
So much bling.
Is there
bling.
A cape at any point?
So we're also following a team called the Coop Reapers, and they may be the best dressed team out there. They have
the
multiple
Reapers, all right.
Coop Reapers, multiple jerseys. They have cups. They have
hats, towels, stickers, postcards. You name it.
Marketing.
There.
Wow.
They have their own wrapping paper.
They're pretty good
paper.
Too.
I like that. A couple minutes left here, guys. I want to ask you a filmmaking question, because in this new state budget that just passed, in a bipartisan manner on this part, they just reinstituted, it was there years and years ago under former Governor Tommy Thompson, there's a new film office with some tax credits. As filmmakers, does this mean anything? Is this actually something that would help you guys make films, or is this just all political fluff?
Well, I think we're optimistic. Nathan Demings, the guy here in town, has really helped lead the charge. Probably the level we're producing films at, it probably won't have a huge impact right away, but certainly the idea of drawing new industry, new filmmakers to Wisconsin would be enormous. My brother's a filmmaker out in Denver, and they have some tax credits, and that's why he's there, and that's how they do film movies there. Same with Atlanta, same with all the hubs. So if Wisconsin can get in on that, it has great opportunities for other larger productions, maybe beyond what we're doing right now, but you know, maybe one day we'll get there too.
And it does bring other filmmakers outside of Wisconsin here and have them take a look. Minnesota has had good luck with their film program, their film office. So I think this is a really exciting time for us.
I think it's only a rumor, but James Cameron has
really
been doing a sequel to Titanic.
Unlike Minnesota.
Oh, right. First movie. Because of that credit.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yes.
No, but to you guys' point, I would think whatever the vocation is, wherever you could get together with other people in your business, so to speak, there's some synergy there, and I would think that's good for both commerce in Wisconsin, but also for the art.
No question.
Yeah, there's definitely a story about there's a movie called 100 Beavers, and they're looking at making their next feature, and with incentives that might be something that can get them to stay in Wisconsin and do that right here. So little things like that are big wins.
Didn't we have someone on talking about Hundreds of Beavers before?
We did, yes. I love that movie.
I think that's absolute Hundreds of Beavers. What a name and what a great movie.
What?
I mean, anyway, so I think it's great for film. A minute left here or so. Is there anything we have not asked you about this documentary on Coop that you'd like people to know?
Well, what I would say first and foremost is if you're unfamiliar with Coop, if you just want to check it out, this is the time. So starting tomorrow, 8 a.m., come out to the soccer park on Hamilton Road in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, or tomorrow or on Sunday to watch the final cage match. You're going to have a great time.
All right, very good. I believe Jerry Mathers is going to star in the sequel to Hundreds of Beavers.
Just a rumor.
All right, very good. BJ Hollers and Steve Dayton of Fireside Productions, thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate you, and we'll be following you every step of the way. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Come on back. Pat and I are going to talk Northern Wisconsin State Fair after this. We're live on location in Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media.
As Wisconsin is brought on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes
right.
In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the landowners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. We are live on location across the Civic Media Radio Network, Todd Allball, along with our co-host, our friend, our colleague, Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, from every morning from 6 until 9 across most of the stations here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, it'll be CBS, ABC, or James Kelly News, depending upon which station you're listening to, followed by a check of weather. And then our Mike Clemens with sports, and we'll come back with hour number 2. What?
You said the James Kelly News?
The James Kelly News. That's what here we get here at the tap on every day, and it's fantastic. And speaking of, you never know who's going to stop by the table at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. None other.
In the flesh.
Our own James Kelly.
Well, to be fair, I was scheduled to be here.
Oh. And it's so standard. I didn't know this, but this is fantastic. I think it's fantastic.
We appreciate this entirely voluntary appearance you're making here for us, and not a hostage situation in the least.
No.
How are you doing, James?
I'm doing great. I'm really enjoying some Brewers baseball. That song just made me think of Bull Durham and Jacob Mizierowski. Oh, boy.
Now, for those who haven't listened before, the last time the three of us were together was at Pat's home, beautiful Lake Wissota. We did the show up there. For those who don't know, James is a New Yorker from Long Island, a big Yankees fan, and I'm not being goofy. I haven't checked. How are the Yankees doing?
Oh, they're going through a bit of a rough patch right now.
But yeah. The Brewers, they're on fire.
Yeah, the Brewers, they're looking like they might end up winning the NL Central after all.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. We got half a season to go yet.
Are they two games back now? That's
a game
bad.
And a half. Let's just enjoy the ride, you know?
Well, it's great to see you. What have you been? Were you here last year?
Yeah.
All right, because you've been here what, over 2 years now?
Yeah, it's coming up on 2 years in August.
That's incredible. So, what's your favorite part of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair as a person who grew up in New York?
Well, it's for me out here, it's who you run into. Obviously, you find a governor candidate here. And last year when I was here, I ran into then Senate candidate Eric Hovde and got to ask him a couple questions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just luck of the draw. You see people that you wouldn't normally see out and about out here.
That's fantastic. Eddie, what's your favorite fair food, James Kelly?
Ooh, my favorite fair food. That's a tough one. We have a Zeppelis back home for their
Zeppelis. Oh, I'm sorry. What Zeppelis?
They're kind of like cannolis.
Oh, really? I love a good cannoli.
Yeah. But those are great. Those are a fair classic.
Well, when we get done here, Pat brought in some beautiful chocolate chip.
A bucket
there.
Of cookies. It's no cannoli, but, you know.
We have cookies for you.
Yeah.
You're really underwhelmed by that one. All right.
We work with what we got.
What else you got, Todd?
So you got to we had Showman, Josh Showman here on this show. It was very kind of him to stop by. More than Governor Evers is willing to do in our show. He goes and talks to Pat, but he won't come on our show. We put it in writing. We said, Governor, we'd love to have you come on. Not a word back.
Well, maybe he'll announce a third term run on your show.
Or maybe he'll announce he's not running again on our show. We'll
he'll say if he's doing that. He's doing it on Dan Schaefer. No. Actually, it should be the other way around. If he announces he's running again, he's going to want Dan Schaefer
100%.
There. Yes. And say something like, I'm running for a third term. In your face, Schaefer.
Of course, our own Dan Schaefer, political editor, has written a column saying the governor should not run again. James, you're following news all the time. You're following, and one of the great things about civic media, we're local, community-oriented. Give us the, what's the thing that people are talking most about right now in the Chippewa Valley in terms of local news up here?
Well, this week, it really seems like road work. I'm getting a lot of updates on projects that are coming up, especially in Dunn County. There's going to be a lot of closures, and you got the Blatnick Bridge reconstruction project ready to get underway up in Superior, so that's going to cause some lane closures as well in the next couple of weeks. So it's a lot of road work right now. Other than that, we have Emerald Ash Borer still spreading through the northwest Wisconsin region, and the city of Spooner's looking at some preventative treatment options, so could be something interesting to watch if it works, if it's affordable.
James comes on our show every Wednesday at 7 or 8:50 to talk about some of the stories he's following, and one of them this week is the new container park in Altoona.
Really?
With old shipping containers being turned into.
Well, that's cool.
What are they going to be turned into? Is it like
they're just kind of like vendor spaces, restaurants, kind of like stationary food trucks, sort of.
Really?
For somebody of my age who grew up reading The Boxcar Children, this is like, whoever thought we'd be turning boxcars into the urban development of the future?
Well, it's another cool thing about the Chippewa Valley. Industrious, unique things,
creative,
yeah. That happened. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, the other big topic around here, the Cube Championships.
Yes, we've been talking about that.
Yeah, I will say, last year when they had the Cube Championships, I did a little story about it for the radio. Happened to run into State Representative Jody Emerson at a press conference later that day. Who this isn't a game that we really have a lot of in New York. I found it in one place, Bryant Park in the city, and it was a ton of fun. But we called it Cub. That's just how we pronounce it.
Well, in your Eastern accent, I suppose.
Yeah, so I called it Cub on the newscast.
A lot of angry letters?
Yeah, a little pause before the press conference. Like, by the way, it's Cube. And I was like, oh, man, I'm never going to hear the end of this.
She didn't chuck a baton at you as she said that?
No. I mean, it was a friendly reminder. She knew I was still new around here.
Yeah.
Oh, she'd throw it at me. I mean, again, we're friends.
Right.
But friends do.
As one does,
chuck wood at each other.
Well, this is fantastic. I appreciate the news about the road work because I was driving from here back to Eau Claire last night. I thought the pavement had buckled because what road were we on?
There actually was I-94, pavement buckling northwest of Osseo. Yeah.
Oh, we were on the bypass or something like that. Yeah.
So that road work should have wrapped up this morning-ish.
Oh, there you go. That's good news for us going.
We get a lot of that around here. Yeah, you know, bypass cookies surgery? And suddenly you're just going like buckling. The things expand. The roads are kind of the same way around.
That's pavement buckling.
Yeah, right? Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well, always appreciate you. People can find you here at the TAP at WCFW. You keep people up to date. We appreciate that. Thank you once again for all the hard work, and thanks for stopping by. We always appreciate it.
Absolutely, and I'll be here all evening.
Really, really? So people could come and meet you. Do you ever get, like, when people meet me and they say, oh, you look different in person?
No, I usually get the, oh, now I can put a face to the name. Oh, that's interesting.
Really? Oh, you see? The tall, handsome dude like that? That's what he hears. What do we hear?
But you were on television, Pat. People knew what you looked like.
Yeah, but they also thought you're on TV. You must be, you know, 6'5".
Oh, right.
And, you know, make a Tom Brokaw-level salary.
Everyone looks taller on TV.
Yes.
Yeah. You know. All right. Well, James Kelly, our fantastic news person here in northwestern Wisconsin. Thank you, James. Stay tuned next hour. We're going to do some What's Worse. Also, talking to Ken Szymanski and Food with Pat Kreitlow and Todd. Don't go anywhere. It's the Northern Wisconsin State Fair from Chippewa Falls live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump got a firsthand look at the flood devastation in Texas. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi is in Kerrville.
The president is also traveling today with Texas Senators Ted Cruz and John Cornyn and a delegation from Texans' congressional group.
170 people remain missing. Before leaving Washington, Trump was asked about the latest Russian attacks on Ukraine.
I know. You'll be seeing things happen.
Trump said the U.S. is selling weapons to NATO allies in Europe so they can provide them to Ukraine. An appeals court has thrown out a plea agreement that would have spared the 9/11 mastermind execution. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
He languished in Guantanamo Bay until a year ago when he agreed to plead guilty in exchange for life in prison. Obviously, the federal appeals court believes that the death penalty should still be available.
Many victims' families were angry about the deal. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.